Extra Points is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it. It must be 21 years or older.
Oh, hey. Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to a brand new episode of Extra Points, presented as ever by our pals over there in Omaha. Hey, guess what? You already know it's basketball season and it's hockey season. Hey, it's baseball season now, too. Let's talk about that, shall we? We've got Martin Weiss, our pal, coming up in just a second. First, though, let's say hello to the roastest with the mostest. She's over the moon because her beloved baseball is about to launch. I know the Dodgers and Padres kind of sort of already started, but I mean on our soil. What's happening there, Sarah Tiana?
Oh, it's a beautiful day. Everything is beautiful. I'm just like so excited for opening day. The Braves released their new menu today. It was very exciting.
What does that mean?
Well, like they just all the new things that they're going to be serving in the stadium.
Ah,
you know, it's like a burger with like pulled pork on it and, you know, just lots of heart attacks waiting. We have a great medical staff at the Battery. So that's really good. Lots of hot chicken sandwiches and home run fries, that kind of stuff.
I've done it for the NFL, but not what is served in the ballparks. Although that would be a great show, is Tiana going and meeting with ball players of that particular joint and eating the best of and ranking it out. I've ranked all of the NFL towns' best food stuff, not served in the stadium, but like Buffalo gets wings and Philadelphia gets cheesesteaks and so on, and which is the best. Wonder what MLB town has the best food. You know what? We can talk about that. We can talk about all of it. Let's say hello, though, to our guy. He is the host of Lemon Pepper Parlay, also Fox Sports Radio. Over the weekends, I've been a guest on there more than one time, as a matter of fact. Let's say hello to our guy, Martin Weiss. What's the poop, fella?
Dave, does Detroit get pizza? Because remember, that was one of our first ever arguments was the existence of Detroit pizza, which 100% exists. And so now
I'm a dummy. I'm going to have to look the list up while you two kibitz now to figure out what did I put for Detroit? I think it was something Greek food. Maybe. Here's the thing, Tiana. Here's what Detroit people do. It's sad for them, really. You know, some people have signature. Some towns have signature foodstuffs. Detroit's best is Detroit-style pizza, which is Sicilian pizza. And Sicily existed before Detroit, ergo, their signature thing is something stolen from the old country.
Oh, I mean, when I don't think of Detroit as having a signature food. I think of Michigan. When I think of Michigan, I think of cherries. I think of like the UP is like big into cherries.
We should have just gone with that. Yeah.
Cherries. The UP is like everything is cherries up there. It's like the cherry capital. So I would think like some sort of cherry pie. I don't know.
I guess when I think of Michigan, I don't think about the UP at all.
Look who's a snob. Yeah, are you enjoying
that Wisconsin? You're like, eh.
Yeah, that's just Eastern Wisconsin.
Boy, this combo of Tiana and Martin Weiss, I could go in about 137 different directions and they all just pass through my brain. And unfortunately, I can't retain any of those specific thoughts for very long. So they're all gone. So let's talk about some baseball here and see where the conversation takes us. It is, like we say, it is opening day. It's borderline religious for some people. I think it's a little weird. It's sort of like the guy who, in a world of online pornography, who's like, oh, that Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue keeps me warm in the winter times. Like, you're kind of a special kind of weirdo in the 21st century. I also think the people who are like, this many days till pitchers and catchers reports. That's the same level of weirdo. But if I'm not mistaken, Tiana, you're one of those weirdos.
I just know the pitchers and catchers report in February. I don't know the day. And I usually know the day my team opens baseball season and who we're playing. I don't know who everyone is playing, you know, but I mean, I do know who the Angels are playing because I watched the game between them and the Dodgers last night. But yeah,
preseason baseball. Excited. Tiana's a goon. She's been lost, Weiss. Do you want to jump into I think we should try to give our favorite props out there for the season. There are a lot of ones that you, I mean, obviously, if you lean into your favorite team, let's start there, Martin Weiss, as a matter of fact. The Detroit Tigers, Tiana has already sung songs about the Braves, and she's kind of jammed up because the bookmakers agree that team has to win the National League. They must go to the World Series or it's a disappointing season. Weird place to start the season. No such trouble for the Tigers or Buccos, though, Martin Weiss. What's your sense for the Detroit Tigers in 2024? Anything specifically you want to talk about there before we expand into our favorite props?
I think that it's a low, what is it, high floor, low ceiling team this year. With the Tigers, historically, the last two or three years have been absolutely terrible. I think they can contend for the division, even though I think the Twins will probably win it. But I could also see this team losing 95 games. So,
win total on Caesars right now for your Detroit Tigers is 82. Are you going over or under?
I'm going to take the over, but it's more of a bet with my heart than my head.
That's fine.
I don't disagree with that. I think the Tigers, from all the chatter that I've heard, you know, especially amongst people who are really weird fantasy baseball heads, like a lot of people are low key excited about the Tigers because even though they've gotten rid of everybody, they've got so many prospects in the pipeline. And like all of that is, it's open season. You know, you just never know who's going to hit, who's going to pop. And, you know, you're starting the season fresh, you know. You're not one of those teams that's already given up before you started, like, you know.
True.
White Sox.
All right. We're, you know, I'm looking for the Buccos at 75.5. I am going over that one. Yes, Martin Weiss, that is a heart bet, a.k.a. a fun bet that will play itself out over the next handful of months. It's not going to be like my goose is cooked unless they really stink right out of the gate. I don't think they will. Before I turn to the big story in baseball right now, I do have this question for you. And I've asked it to Kevin Hench on -3. Does it make me delusional that, you know, Tiana, the pitcher, Jordan Montgomery, finally gets a deal and it's a 1-year deal for what? Mm-hmm. What is it? $25 million?
$25 million for the Diamondbacks. Yeah.
Okay. And Blake Snell last week signs for $62 million spread over 2 years. Even if, and I know this makes me crazy, but I don't like parity. And it's funny to me as a side note, very often, and I'm not being political and I don't care which side you come down on in the political spectrum, but very often people who hate socialism love the NFL structure more than they love the Major League Baseball system, right? And Major League Baseball, I'm a Pirates fan, you understand, and I am supporting the haves and have-nots. It's too severe where the Bucks are concerned because they clearly have some money that they could spend, so maybe I'm devil's damashecking it here. But Tiana, how say you? Wouldn't it make sense for the Pirates, positioned as they are, the lowest spending team in the league, they could add a finishing piece like Jordan Montgomery, and if in July it ain't working out, you trade him to a contender. No harm done. How say you?
No, I think that's a great option. And any team that cries poor is lying, because I've talked about revenue share every season on this show. Like, I think revenue share last year per team was around $120-130 million each before, you know, you get your own earnings from your own stadium, you know, concessions and whatnot. So like, don't cry poor with me ever. I feel like people like the Diamondbacks have a bigger reason to cry poor because they're already in this big heated TV race with Bally and like going bankrupt. So like they have more reason to cry poor than anyone else just because of their rights deals. So but I agree with you. You know, in baseball, it's all guaranteed money. You could get somebody to take over that contract. If it's not going well, you can trade them like they did with Scherzer last season and Verlander. Like, the Mets just had a fire sale.
Right.
Even though the Mets were paying most of that, like half of that contract. I mean, listen, I think the Jordan Montgomery deal is a great deal. Some people think it was too much money. I would pay him that much or more. The Braves would never pay anybody that much, but like, I do like it. I like it for the Diamondbacks because it means everyone in that division is a contender. Like, The Giants got better with Snell. The Dodgers obviously got better with 80 new additions. Like, the Padres got better with Cease. Like, the Diamondbacks had no choice. And they could have just said, like, hey, we made the World Series last year. We don't have to make it again this year. And instead, they said, no, we're going to be aggressive. We have a great team. And if we had Montgomery last year, would we have won the World Series? Instead, the Rangers had Montgomery and they won. So you can make a case that it was the Diamondbacks' best move.
I agree, and I think there's value now identifying which team that is not named Dodgers in the NL West. There's some obvious value if you can identify that team. Everybody the world over has handed the division to the Dodgers, and it makes all the sense in the world for obvious reasons. But Martin Weiss, is there a team in the NL West not named Dodgers that you might put something on as we then transition into why, part of why, at least, the Dodgers might be gettable in 2024? Catchable, I mean.
Well, yeah, I would probably be the team that went to the World Series last year. And then added a pitcher that if they had him, I'm kind of on Terry's side there. If they had Jordan Montgomery, well, I know they definitely wouldn't have lost worse, right? I think they probably would have competed a little bit better against Texas, because that was really what their shortcoming was. But yeah, I think Corbin Carroll to win the NL MVP in a year that Ohtani will not be pitching. And who knows if he'll be playing the whole time, you know?
Well, that's my question for you. By far, the shortest odds for a division champ, Dodgers are -600. You'd be crazy, obviously, to bet on that. But the value, as Tiana and Weiss point out, Giants are 10-1. The Snakes are 11-1. Padres are 12-1. And don't worry about the Rockies. But I do think that that there's something available there. And Martin, start us off now. People have been talking about it, and it's fascinating to me. You know, I always say, you think if you're a player, if you're a big-time player, and everybody's been slapping you on the back and handing you millions of dollars for the last 10 years or so, you think that everybody loves you in your sports town. But when push comes to shove, almost every single time, it's going to be the fan base siding with the team brand over you. You ultimately are the one who can be moved out. The brand is going to stay. I think fans feel that deep down, and they will move on from you. So I think that Ohtani and Rodgers and some of these people out there who just deny things publicly and think like, well, that should take care of that, right? Like, I denied it. And in your town, you could feel like, if you're Ohtani, like, you're the Dodgers reporters. Don't you want the Dodgers to work out? I feel like that's part of the thing. I don't think this goes away just because Ohtani denied it. And I know the Mets play-by-play announcer said, no one in New York would let Ohtani off the hook the way LA reporters have. I don't think it matters if it's New York or LA. I think they're going to investigate it, and they're going to try and find something. And if there's something there, they're going to find it. The assumption that, like, the Dodgers are on their way to the World Series and nothing can stop this trade. Like, what happens if the guy they just spent that amount of money on gets yanked and banned from baseball for the rest of his life? Martin Weiss.
Yeah, the one thing I want to know, and I don't know if there's any way of actually knowing, but I wonder how much English Ohtani actually knows. Like, is it like a strict, he speaks zero English, and literally every single conversation that he has with anybody in English is very much like that show Shogun, where there's one person who's translating it from the white person to the Japanese. Like, pretty I wonder sure. if, but you know, it's like, it's just one it's good, person yeah. though. So Eddie no. said something. Yeah, but I'm wondering because, like,
that guy just, like, lying the whole time and then never.
Well, he was nodding along during the press conference. So, like, and Eddie Spaghetti just said he can understand it. And that's usually what it is. Like, you can understand what people sure. are saying, not perfectly, but you have a pretty good idea. But speaking it back, you get caught up on and you don't want to say anything wrong. Right. So you use a translator to ensure right. that your words are not taken out of context or said incorrectly.
Right. That makes sense, because you could say the wrong, you know, I don't want to poke fun or anything. You say the wrong phrasing and you sound like me speaking Spanish. Right. Like, you know, that's not how you say that. Like, you know, and then you get to all that. because I was wondering, like, if this interpreter is literally the go-between between every conversation that he has, it's not as implausible as I at first initially thought that this guy could rob him, right? Because he, if he, I was telling, he's having all type of American business deals, left, right, and center. That was
here's the question, Tiana. But wait. Because this is the core of it, Martin. Tiana, that's, I mean, like Eddie Spaghetti said that on Twitter, at least, and it's an interesting
good take,
remark
Eddie.
To make. I don't think he was being sincere when he said it. I think he was being sarcastic, Eddie Spaghetti, when he said, "Oh yeah, of course, all my friends have access to my bank account, and I would never notice that millions of dollars went out of it." I think he was being snarky. Maybe I'm wrong, Eddie Spaghetti. Unless you're being sincere and you don't count me as a friend, and that's why you've never given me access to your bank account. In which case, I'll thank you to amend that ASAP and let me start spending your money. But Tiana, right? I mean, like, what is the explanation for that? You don't know, like, oh, he's rich, like $4.5 million gone and you don't notice, kind of rich.
Yeah, I find it hard to believe that he had full access. Now, obviously, if you're making these transactions in California and it's a Japanese person on the phone, can you tell the difference between Ipe Mizuhara and Shohei Ohtani if you're a bank teller in San Diego? You know what I mean? Like, can you tell the difference? So I think it's very plausible that Ipe impersonated Shohei and did have access. These are two guys that have known each other for 13 years, 11 years at least. So, you know, I mean, they knew each other back in Japan. So it's not implausible to me that he did have access. The problem is,
but is that rich? But that's rich people stuff, isn't it? Like, who has, like, your handler? I mean, I guess people have money managers and all.
Yeah,
that.
You would definitely notice. I don't care how much money you make. You notice a $500,000 transaction.
But your translator I get it. Like, okay, especially the higher up, I assume you get in the world, you have people handling every aspect of your life. But the interpreter has his bank account information to tap into it and take that amount out without any red flags being raised anywhere? It's weird.
I think it's much more plausible to believe that Ohtani was just doing his friend a favor. The problem to me is, here's the problems to me with the investigation. A, they repeatedly keep changing their story. They're like the royal family with Kate Middleton, where you're like, if you had just been honest at the beginning, none of this, she wouldn't have had to go on camera and said she had cancer. You know what I mean? Like, nobody is telling the truth. And when you're telling little lies, it makes everything feel like a lie. And then nobody knows what to believe. And then we're all like, what are you hiding? Second of all, it is illegal in California. Dallas Braden, who, has been at the forefront of this, who's the Oakland A's play-by-play announcer. He's a great follow on Twitter. But if you are going through a bookie in California to make bets, that is illegal. And if Shohei Ohtani knowingly or unknowingly sent a transaction to this bookie on his friend's behalf, that is an illegal wire transaction in the state of California. And there's nothing that MLB can do about it. Like, no matter what, MLB can't go, hey, FBI, hey, Homeland Security, he just didn't know. Like, you can't, I'm sorry, that's just not the way the law works. Now, obviously, we see in our day-to-day lives that the law works differently for different people who have money. So it's very plausible that he could get out of this situation. But here's the other issue. When reporters ask Ohtani's representatives who they have reported the theft to, they say no comment, because they came out and they go, well, we reported the theft and we're just going to leave it to the authorities to handle the theft. And then reporters go, oh, okay, so which agency did you report the theft through? Which police department? And they go, no comment. So it's like, wait, why do you have to, like, why do you have to no comment? Like, it's an open investigation. Like, if you say we reported it to the Riverside County Police Department, which is where this took place, Then the reporter goes to Riverside and they go, hey, did an investigation get open on Ohtani's behalf? Riverside says, yes, it's an ongoing investigation and we cannot comment on ongoing investigations. That's it. So it's very easy to prove in real time all of this stuff. But Otani's reps and the Dodgers reps and everybody's being shady. And you're like, well, if it's really just an accident and like you didn't understand the law, why did you have to say any of this in the first place? Like, who cares?
It is right. The people who want this to go away are the Dodgers, Major League Baseball, mm-hmm. and Otani, and all Dodgers fans. So, I mean, that is the sort of leverage that exists in their minds and doing all that. And it does beg the question. And, you know, we had this conversation on Minus Three last week with Hench about like Spaghetti's like, you're equating this guy saying something like Aaron Rodgers versus something felonious with Deshaun Watson or whatever. I'm just saying, if you are the face of the franchise and making that level of bank and something that, whether it's a crime or not, could get you pulled from the games upcoming, then that ends up being a bad contract. And I absolutely could see Otani, you know, the assumption like that they're not going to pull, because baseball is in a weird spot, kind of like the NBA now with gambling as well. Like, first we need to confirm that this is 100% true, because if we start making declarative statements about Otani being bad, like there's no way to undo that, right? Martin, they're in a weird place. I kind of get the leverage that Otani has here to try and see if he can make this thing go away, that's the attempt. Is that how you see it? I feel like it's like, I'm going to deny it and see if anybody cares enough to try and push back and investigate this.
Yeah, because I'm closer to Sarah than this isn't a baseball problem. Like, this is a federal problem.
Yeah.
Like,
no, you're being naive, though, because you know that if he bet on baseball, he's banned. And so we all want to believe he didn't.
But
so
whether or not but I don't think that Shohei Ohtani was out there sweating out first five unders. Like, I don't think that was happening. Like, I don't, maybe that's the naive part on my side. I think that either he was really robbed, because like, let's be honest, like the guy who does my taxes could clean me out. He's got my checking account information, mm-hmm. to direct deposit, my, all of that stuff. He's got all my finances, every W-2 from the last 4 years, mm-hmm. you know, it's all like, and he's like a friend of mine I went to college with. Like, he could easily get me, but he's a CPA, but still. So like, I it's not implausible to me that if somebody was like stealing $50 a week from me, that I wouldn't necessarily notice. Because I mean, you just chalk it up to something else. It's some other miscellaneous, like, and I don't know how much, like, I know you say you notice $500,000 coming out of your checking account. How often are you checking your checking account if you're a multimillionaire? Like, I don't know,
I don't know what the standard is. I know if something heavy happened, I'm pretty sure the bank would hit me up and say, like, is this a proper expense or something like that, right? Maybe I talk about the ultimate naive grown-up person.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, the bank would hit you up, for example, though, if you had a $150 transaction every single day of this week. They wouldn't hit you up. They wouldn't. That would be us, business as usual for Dave. Maybe a $200,000 transaction would be business as usual for
Shohei.
Yeah,
I guess so.
But regardless, though, it's like if a player got a DUI. Like, it's not a basketball. I'm sorry, it's not a baseball problem or basketball in the form of Jonte Porter. It's more, you were breaking the law, bro. Like, you have to deal with the law before you can even come back over here. It's like Aaron Rodgers is doing like ayahuasca and all that other stuff. Like, he's just weird, right? Like, he's just
full-blown,
but he's not doing anything illegal to my knowledge.
No, let's be clear that this did not come out because a Los Angeles Times reporter wanted to get Otani. This was a federal investigation on a bookie, and Otani's name came out. How else would Otani's name come out if Otani's name, but I mean, obviously it's on the transactions, but like Ipe's name wasn't in there, you know, Ipe became a part of it. But, you know, to me, this didn't generate within the MLB. This generated with a Federal Bureau of Investigation, and a Homeland Security and an IRS investigation.
I do think it kind of makes sense that, you know, we are ginning this up into a major thing, because the worst case would be that Ohtani bet on baseball, maybe bet on himself to hit a home run or something like that. I don't think that's insane that he would say, like, yeah, you know, I'm feeling good. I'm going to hit one tonight.
No, it would be worse if he was betting on him to not hit, not be successful.
I mean, I think, and he told us this, but I think most of the betting was on soccer, international soccer. And then there are reports that it's way more than $4.5 million. It's way more. But I don't think it's improbable still that that is going through eBay and it's not necessarily Ohtani doing the betting, because if that bookie knows that Ohtani is helping you pay off your debts, he's much more likely to extend credit to you. And well, the way it's clear to me that eBay is like a master manipulator, because like he's gotten all these jobs. He's lied about being the Red Sox interpreter. He lied about what college he went to. Like, people just aren't fact checking. It's like Navy SEAL. Oh, I'm a Navy SEAL. I got Osama bin Laden. Like, how am I going to look that up? How am I going to look that up?
That was Rob Riggle who got him, I think, previous guest of Extra Points. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. The one thing is, the way that Ipe, if it was him actually doing all the gambling or Ohtani, either way, if they're really deep in the hole financially, the way they'll work themselves out is to start a gambling advice outlet. And then you just fade whatever they're doing. Who loses $4.5 million gambling? I mean, my goodness, that's a lot of loot to lose.
Go ahead.
No, please.
I was like, do you think this is why Ohtani deferred a lot of his money, because he was like, I can't trust that money in my bank.
Lots of smoke, right? There's plenty of evidence to lead you to think that something shadier than what is being told us is the reality, right? Martin?
I just think that regardless of, I just have real trouble thinking that somebody who's as good at baseball as Shohei Ohtani is spending like that's something that I do. And I don't think that me and Shohei, we don't do too many things in common besides put our pants on the same way. Like you got so much other bigger things going on. It's just much more plausible to me that this essentially scammer, right? Mm-hmm. Would continue to be a scammer, right?
Who has befriended you and become part of your family. You know, he's like in your wedding, you guys live together. Like you spend every day together. Ohtani is very focused on baseball. Ipe to me clearly was focused on everything else. So I don't believe that Ohtani is the one himself doing the gambling. I find that to be way less plausible. Now, I do find, I wouldn't be surprised if he liked to go to a casino and gamble or anything like that. I just don't look at him and think, this guy is, an online gambler. If he was a regular pitcher, he would have more time. But he's a pitcher and a batter, so he doesn't have that kind of time. You know what I mean?
He just has practical lack of minutes on the day to be out there making wagers. I hear you, I guess. Ipe, though, based on the resume you just gave, like all the lies and everything, his first thing was like, this is all on me. Ohtani had nothing to do with this. This is 100% me. Well, that kind of feeds that history, right? Like starting with a big bald lie right out of the gate to defend himself. That kind of seems in line. Now, Martin, with Murray, I think this is another one here. And this is ugly stuff for the NBA. Because the vibe is like, we got this guy and we can't have it in the league. And I bet if they prove it, and obviously if he's going consistently under his personal totals, that's pretty easy to achieve if you're in control of your stat line as an NBA player. But I'm already getting the vibe, correct me if I'm wrong, maybe I'm overly cynical, that the vibe is like, we got Murray, and thank goodness we got this bad actor, because we can't have it in a game. Now let's get into these playoffs now. Like, he's the only one.
That's how I think you have a good idea that there was some funny acting business going on, because unless you just follow like Missouri high school basketball, you don't know who Jonte Porter is. Like, or you just like live and die with the Rockets. I mean, not the Rockets, the Raptors. You don't know who Jonte Porter is to even take his unders, right? So I think that one to me is funny, but like also funny weird, not funny ha ha. But also you gotta like That's part of the problem with these player props and the super big same game parlays that everybody's always pushing around, because like there's too much action. Like, why should you be able to bet somebody who plays less than 15 minutes a game or 20 minutes a game, their overs or unders? Like, because it should be, to me, that window should be too small. Maybe I'm just like an old school gambler where it's like, I would like to bet on a team to win a period of time, like a half or a full game or by X amount of points. Like, that's the way that I like to gamble. I'm not somebody who's going to sit here and be like, oh, well, the Bucks give up 30th to 3-point percentage and the Raptors are top three and 3-pointers made, so you got to take this guy's over. Like, that's a level of thinking that's too much for me. I just watch the game, right, and then take it from there. Like,
I don't know though, Martin, because it's sort of like I didn't have a pager. There are these, like, you know, in terms of personal communication, you know, you had wired phones and you know, cell phones and beepers and pagers and fax machines. And now here we are with texts and emails over our phones and all that kind of stuff. I always said, I think this was right on, obviously, prescient when I said this about 12 years ago, fantasy sports were the equivalent of pagers, right? They were just a transitional method into gambling, into player props. Now, I mean, that's what fantasy sports is. This is just a little more specific, isn't it? I mean, they're the same thing. So I always thought that felt like greasing the skids a little bit without saying, like, we're not doing any gambling. Fantasy sports are all right. All the leagues embrace that, though, right?
Well, especially when you push out like the daily fantasy, like that to me is gambling with a different name. Like, if you're talking about your week long, 17 week fantasy football season, you know, like you lost a trophy for, then I think that's not necessarily akin to gambling in the exact same way.
It ain't about trophies, Martin. It's about glory, man. That's what
you sound like somebody who lost a trophy one day. That's what they would say.
Let me squeeze in a quick break here. You know, when the conversation turns tampers, I always go with my number one as Caesars. Let's talk about them a little bit, shall we? Tickets to the game, merch, meals at iconic restaurants, stays at Caesars Palace. All this can be yours when you bet with Caesars Sportsbook. Win or lose, every bet earns rewards credits, which you can redeem across the empire. Now, if you haven't started yet, register using this code, listen up, Omaha Full, the word Omaha and the word full. And then you place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, great. If you keep those winnings, but if you lose, you'll get your stake back as a bonus bet. 21 and over only. Offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. New users and first $10 plus wager only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bonus bet, $1,250. Bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harrah's, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or West Virginia, 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right. You know what? I want to get a couple of things in here. I said that we were going to give out some props. I also want to get your thoughts on the new NFL rules. You know what? Let's talk NFL rules quickly here because I want Tiana's reaction to those and yours as well, Martin. Let's start with you, though, Sarah. How say you? What jumps out at you? I'm sure it's hip drop tackles, a.k.a. tackling, as far as my eye can tell. How say you?
Yeah, I mean, the hip drop tackle, I don't really care. Like, I know defensive players are very upset about it. I can't tell. I think it's just going to slow the game down, you know, for them trying to review it and figure out if that's what it was. I really don't care, but I really care about the kickoff. I'm very excited about the
kickoff. I don't understand. I'll be honest. I have no idea what goes on. I've seen it. I still don't get what happens on it.
Now the players, the special teams can't run towards each other until the ball is caught, as opposed to lining up with the kicker, kicking off, running down the field at full force, and then those other players like trying to create a path. Instead, when the ball is caught, if the ball is caught, then you can run. And then that, to me, creates less traffic. But I was listening to Rich McKay this morning explain it, and he said, you know, in 2013, there were 14,000 kickoffs returned. And then last year, there were 1,300. You know what I mean? So, like, this hopefully will create more returns themselves.
But they didn't like the returns. That's why they took them away. Because there were too many injuries. And it seems to me, Tiana, that really, you know, I've made it pretty clear that I'm on the fence about some of the moves my beloved Pittsburgh Steelers have made. It does feel like on the same day, no hip drop tackles and the Steelers signed Cordarrelle Patterson. If nothing else, the biggest kick returner of all time. Like, how many?
Like,
you have Derrick Henry now on kickoff returns, and you're not allowed to hip drop tackle him. And keep in mind who populates special teams. It ain't the high end guys. It's the guys that are like mid-sized pro football players, not the highest skill guys. They're going to have a hard time getting anybody. That's why they're on special teams, not starting at outside linebacker. Right, Martin? This should spell a lot of kickoff returns for touchdowns.
Can I just explain that, like, if you kick it into the end zone, you start, that team starts on the 30. If you don't, you know, and he just fair catches it, they start on the 20 or 25. So, like, that's, to me, that's a 5-yard difference. You have more incentive to kick the ball to the player. So I think that could lead to more kickoff returns and a more dynamic start.
And I think you should get a big dude running the ball because those guys on special teams ain't built to bring down the big moose who's fast on top of it. At least the NFL starting defenders have a hard time getting Derrick Henry to the ground. At least they're starter worthy players. These are the special teams.
Do you trust Derrick Henry to catch it? Freaking kickoff ball?
Yes.
Well, I mean, yeah, especially seeing as like the whole thing starts when he catches it. Like, it's not like there's a guy breathing down his neck as he's trying to make the catch. Like, it's not like he's fielding a punt, right? Like, it'll be like a similar machination, but the only difference will be there'll be nobody running down and like, dang, if I bobble this in any way, I'm going to get my head taken off. Right, that whole threat of violence is over. So, like, I think it'll probably make some new jobs for running backs, honestly. Like, if you're a zone running back,
right, big,
because that's going to look like a zone. It's going to look like a zone blocking scheme right in front of you. But the thing about the kickoff.
Put Noah Fant on your kick returns. That guy gets a head of steam. He's going to be hard to take down. And there's just going to be one line of mediocre defenders in your way, right?
But the whole point is you're not going to get a big head of steam because you're only XML 15 yards away from the rest of the linemen. Like, you know, I mean, how deep is the running back in a single aisle.
They're not cars, like, they're people. It takes them yards. 2 steps to get to full speed, right?
But either way, the thing that annoys me about this is it all this, like, we want to burn kickoffs back into the game, It's fine and dandy, and it's all well and good. But it is taken away. When they changed the rules just a few years ago, it took away any chance that you had almost of connecting on an onside kick, which, like, the probabilities should probably, in a perfect, like, in Martin's perfect NFL viewing, the probabilities of you recovering an onside kick should be anywhere from 15 to 20%, right? Like, well, like, if you continue to do it, you'll probably get one, but, like, you know, just, and not because somebody else messed up. Like, if you execute it properly and you get the right bounce and the ball comes up, and, like, that's where it probably should land, right? Somewhere between like 15, maybe 12 and 18%, right? Because 1 in 5 would be a little bit much. But now,
agree. Like, it should be a rare success rate, but it shouldn't be.
It's at 5% now.
Right.
It's
at 5%. It was stupid. Right.
And that's way too low, because you have, like, there's ostensibly no shot of, it takes away one of the most exciting plays in the game because of the timing. And where you are in the game, and also just
exactly,
the act of surprise onside kick, like, and the idea that you had take away the element of surprise on the kickoff as opposed to, like, anywhere else, it's like play action. You think it's a run. Oh, surprise, it's a pass, right? Like, but you can't do that with a kickoff. Like, you can't, I can't stand it. And maybe it's just because my team, the New Orleans Saints, won their Super Bowl in part because of one of the gutsiest onside kicks in NFL history. And now it feels like there will be no more onside kicks in NFL history.
I think there are some major chapters in pro football's history, as you say, and you cite one of them, that swing on an onside kick working out, that now have gone away. And I guess we just have to shrug it off, because as long as you say player safety, people are creeps for pushing back on any of that. Obviously, the league adds an extra game and is playing on a Wednesday on Christmas, no less, and all that. Player safety ain't their priority, obviously. But when they can make moves like this, they do. The thing about the hip drop tackle to me is, and I get it, it's like, oh, they're all going to be playing flag football in 10 years and all of that. And I don't know, maybe that is where it's tracking. But it is another instance, at least, of the league deferring to offense over defense. Why is it, you know, Tom Brady kind of touched on this, like, you're not tasking offensive players, quarterbacks, with player safety enough. It's always the defense taking the headshots. Don't throw your players into those tough spots. That's on the QB. I think kind of it's, you know, maybe this is Pollyanna, but if you don't want to get hurt, then when the defender gets his hands on you, then go down. Don't resist getting tackled. That's why you're getting hurt on hip drop tackles, is because you're trying to fight through the tackle. Why is it on the defender to make you healthy, to keep you healthy, not you to keep you healthy? Franco Harris got a lot of crap 50 years ago from Steelers fans and beyond. Dave runs out of bounds too much, dude. He was saving his body. That's what you should do. I get there's a balance of, like, fight for the extra yard, but also, as Bill Belichick coached his players, and as we all were reminded in the Bills Chiefs game by Miko Hardman, don't reach for the extra inch. You may not get it. In fact, you may fumble the ball away and lose your whole season, and you may get hurt in trying to fight through that tackle, right?
I think it's supposed to help a running back not get his leg pinned and his knee twisted, because there have been a ton of injuries to knees this year. We saw a lot of people get injured this year because they're already pinned and then, like, you know, pulled down extra, and their leg is pinned and they can't put their leg into a safe place to get out of a position where they would get an injury to that leg. So it's supposed to help prevent those types of injuries. Will it? I don't know.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. You and Tom Brady, and I'm with it, Dave. Like,
oh, you're with me. Okay.
Yeah, it's because it's just like the Steelers game. I forget who is the offending player.
Vontaze Perfect?
No.
He did that to Le'Veon Bell.
This season, it was a KZ, I believe. He took Michael Pittman Jr.'s head off. But the reason why is because the ball should have never been thrown. It was a bad throw.
Right. Yeah.
Like it is not the defense's responsibility to protect offensive players. It is defense's responsibility to make tackles, right? To make tackles and defend, stop and defend every inch of grass. I'm with you. Like, the dumbest thing in football to me is the idea of forward progress. There's no such thing as forward progress because you can go backwards too. So, like, if the defense is pushing you backwards, I would suggest you wave the white flag on that play and just go down, as opposed to we're waiting for the refs to blow it down because you gained 4 yards and now all of a sudden you're behind the line of scrimmage. No, you,
right.
It should be second and 11 now because you didn't go down. And it's just – it drives me insane because I don't think that simply that because we have a high scoring game that it's a better game, right? Like we see the NBA now. There's plenty of terrible games that end 137 to 120. Like they're terrible games. Like, we want to see some form of resistance. And the thing that I've studied this about myself, really got down to the nitty gritty of it. Like, what is it about this game that has me in this chokehold? And there's something about the idea that if you do not protect yourself, you will get blown up. Right. Like, or if your left tackle doesn't protect, like if everybody's not doing their job, generally the consequences, you're met with violence from the defense. Right. And so, like, to me, this the more and more opportunities that they take to mitigate that, just I think honestly
people
makes
don't
it a
like
worse
war.
Game.
Obviously, people getting shot and you know dead and all that kind of stuff is but there is something about the nature and why war metaphors apply to football specifically more than the other sports. There is something about the limited space and you're trying to move in that direction and the other people are physically trying to prevent you from doing that. It's not basketball and hockey and soccer have that element to it, but it's the direct resistance to you trying to do something that is warlike, that's interesting from a strategic standpoint, not from bodies lost. And that's the same thing with football. But at some point, it's football and the money and all of that that's involved in it. We're trying to have fat-free cream cheese. Like, just don't put the cream cheese. Let's just rid the world of cream cheese. You can't have both. Like, the fat-free cream cheese sucks and no one wants to eat it. You know what I'm saying, Tiana?
I think the reason that we don't see the changes that we as like fans want made, we see other changes made that we A, don't care about or we think are stupid. It's because it takes 24 votes to get the rule change.
That's right. Okay. Let's wrap it up.
You know
up.
What I mean? Like, it's so
I do.
Hard.
I do know what you mean by that. So, yeah. Like, and you know what?
We're
I will
not getting
say
turf. Like, that's why we're not getting rid of turf. You know, like, it's like, it does come down to these owners and their money. And yeah. Like, what do they care about? And it's
and I
not
will
what
say
we
this.
Care about.
I agree with that their motivation is different than ours. But either way, I do think if you like football, the devil's damashek of it is, I point you to like the Miami Dolphins of the way their season ended. Like, they just all of a sudden just got hit with a wave of injuries. And now the story is like, oh, McDaniel got figured out and Tua's not that good and all that. It was just like, they just were decimated. They didn't have half their team by the time that it is unsatisfying. And the other thing I always say, I say it to Eddie Spaghetti about hockey, but it's true in football too. It's like, these quarterbacks are so soft. They're like, you can't touch them anymore. It's like, the guys hitting them are bigger than they were 20 years ago. And every time they get touched, they do get hurt. I mean, that's weird.
Yeah.
They didn't used to get hurt in 1986. So the only explanation is that they're getting hit that much harder by a guy that's that much heavier than their forefathers. And it results in a slightly more severe injury that shelves the face of the franchise for 3 weeks. And then that's bad for everybody.
And when you're the owner paying that person $45 million a year, you're like, we're going to protect my cash cow.
It does
cow.
Make that sense, right?
You know,
there's five people whose job that is. They're called the offensive line. Like, I get all that, but it's
right.
Just like,
I'm with you.
Why don't you block? Why don't you have them block? You know,
it
like,
just
that
all
would be
falls
my,
on the defender who's like, but you're telling me to modify my job. I'm not the one getting hurt. They're getting hurt. Tell them to fix the way they play so they don't get hurt anymore. There are things the offense can do to modify their behavior that will result in less injuries. Why is it always us that are the bad guys? Our job is it's tackle football. We're tackling. Anyway, and now a quick break.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You know what? It's enough about that for now. Last thing, Tiana. Atlanta Braves. I talked about the Pirates. I said over. Martin Weiss said over the Detroit Tigers win total. 101.5. This is the worst thing that can happen to a sports fan. You have to win or else the whole thing stinks. How say you, Tiana? Will they transcend 101.5, your Braves?
I'm going to say under because the year that we won the World Series, I think we won like 95 games. So I would prefer to go under. I would prefer to have to scramble. I'm hoping that we get some rule changes in baseball so that like you don't have 5 days off if you win your division. I hope we make it harder. We do double headers for wild cards, like whatever we have to do to like make it a little bit more difficult on these teams who have scraped their way in. I hope we go under. I'm going to take O'Neill Cruz over 23.5. Home runs for your Pirates. I think he's going to have
a
great year.
He's only depressed because he missed all of last year, but he definitely is tracking to go over that. If you assume full health, then yes, right.
I'm going to take Royce Lewis plus 7,000 to be the home run leader in the National League. He's fun. He really came on in the playoffs last year. We haven't really seen him play a full year. Like this could be very exciting for him. And then I also am going to take the San Francisco Giants to make the playoffs at plus 126.
I love it. Outside the box kind of bets there. I'm going to go a little chalkier for you. My favorite one is not just available on Caesars, not league home run leader, but Major League Baseball home run leader. So you get a little value for doing this. Juan Soto, 9-1 to lead all of baseball. I mean, you've seen how easy it is. I might be able to reach the right field bleachers in Yankee Stadium. I mean, that's Juan Soto.
With your hand protection.
Well, I mean,
just when you're stretching.
No, I would probably need like a 6-iron, maybe a 5, but I could get it there. I could get it there. Anyway, awesome stuff, Tiana. Okay. Go about your day. Best to your fella who was texting me earlier today about some Pirates related stuff. Best to his Red Sox, Kevin Hench, Brockman, and all the rest. Like it's going to be a great season for those Bo Sox. We'll talk to you next week, Tiana. Martin Weiss, awesome stuff. Great lemon pepper parlay out there this week. Not surprisingly from you and Gunnels, always gangbuster stuff there. What are you guys buzzing about over the next few weeks here as the NBA playoffs approach?
Where the Clippers will end up and if the Rockets make it in. The Western Conference has got all types of topsy-turvy things going on. Eastern Conference, kind of boring right now, seeing as the Boston Celtics have dominated this regular season of the NBA. It'll heat up throughout the playoffs.
Any play that's worthwhile, we'll get you on -3 to talk about this with Hench. He is, he goes against my way. He's bullish. He'll denounce his teams when he thinks it's deserved, and he will spare no confidence to, I try to keep it down because I don't want the sports gods hearing me being confident in my teams. Hench has no such concerns. He knows the Celtics are going to the finals. Is there any team in the East that's worth sprinkling a little something on to get in their way before they get to the finals?
This is going to sound sacrilegious to a lot of people, but I would sprinkle a little bit on. You know what? I'll take that back. There's two teams I would bet on. One of them is only a long shot in name because Doc Rivers is the head coach, but I would sprinkle a little bit on the Milwaukee Bucks. And also, I cannot quit the New York Knicks. I just love the way that they play.
People love what this Knickerbockers team in full health can do in springtime, eh?
I mean, they're very, very high floor Especially when you, because they're going to come out, you know, they're going to play defense, you know, they're going to rebound, you know, they're going to play hard. Obviously with the playoffs, you think everybody's playing hard, but they are, it's built into them in a different way. And if they can, they're going to need Julius Randle back, which I know, plug your ears, New York fans, because you do need him to be successful in the playoffs. But, I think that that is a team, if the apple cart gets upset, because Boston, as great as they've been all regular season, the style of play for me, they shoot way too many threes, don't have enough shot distribution. And I was thinking about this, like comparing it to football, because it's not exactly one and the same. But like the Celtics will have no problem missing like 15 threes in a row, right? Could you imagine if a quarterback missed 15 passes in a row? Like, everybody in the world will be screaming, run the ball. Tony Romo will be falling out of the broadcast booth, yelling at the coach, run the ball, Jim. I don't know why they're not running the ball. Like, the Celtics have no run the ball in them. They are three-pointer. And I think part of it is because Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown don't have the best one-on-one individual moves, right? Like, they can get to the basket, but like, when you really need a bucket, they're going to want to both of them want to settle for a three as opposed to getting to the rim. We see it all the time in college basketball. Get to the rim, force the refs to make a call, get to the free throw line, you know, maybe get an and-one, three-point the old way, but they don't have that bone in them. They are threes and layups, and that is great on a spreadsheet. But when it comes down to it and you got to have the real men implement it, I think historically, because everybody said when the Warriors won, it's like, okay, a jump shooting team can win the finals, right? And sure, but Steph Curry was also more.
You have to be historically good exactly at that phase to do it. It's right. It's an illusion, and you talk yourself into that at your own peril. I agree. I mean, like the reality versus myth, like you have to run the ball to win in the NFL playoffs. Like, well, Tom Brady proved that's not true. And Patrick Mahomes in some seasons that team made Super Bowl runs didn't have much of a run game. So some of those things have proven to be myth. I think that a lot of these, right. You better be like, well, the Dubs did it. Like, yeah, with Steph Curry and Klay. I mean, what, you know, are you that? Because the idea that what you can get away with in the middle of the NBA against mediocre teams, that you're going to get away with a team that's ID is built on defense. I hear what you're saying. I think the Celts will do it. You know better than I do. But I am hearing more and more from people plugged in that look out for the Knickerbockers. If they can get Randle back at full health, what that team can do. Interesting. Love it. All right, so there you have a little sample of why Martin Weiss is worth your time on the weekends on Fox Sports Radio. Make sure you're tracking him down there. And of course, Lemon Pepper Parlay. We like getting him on here at Extra Points. And on -3, we have to get you on -3. Like I say, in front of these playoffs, maybe you can knock Hinch down a peg or two before the thing gets rolling there. In the meantime, great thanks to you, Martin Weiss, Sarah Tiana, Eddie Spaghetti. Matter of fact, make sure you're checking out all the great content on the Extra Points Network. We'll have a new -3 for you before the weekend arrives. Already have a good one for you with Kevin Hench for your ears. We'll talk to you on the other side of the weekend to try and make sense of all of it for you. Until then, thanks so much, sports fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.